Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
Snap the release. Patriots come hard. He looks, he fires to the right. It is picked off at the 40. Vincent Wilfork at the 50, at the 45, at the 40. Stay on speed all the way down to the 30-yard line. Vincent Wilfork.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Oh, yeah. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Pete Shepherd Show right here on Patriots.com, broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. Call me if you dare on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. The show today is all about you guys. No guests until tomorrow. Just want to have so much to talk about in these next 2 hours with the Patriots and Chargers. We're going to do a lot of that, breaking it down a little bit and getting into a little theory of mine. And then, maybe a little bit at the end, we'll talk about the Buffalo Bills. We got two more days to talk about Buffalo. They suffered a huge loss today. Roscoe Parrish, one of the great special team guys, he's going to be out for the year. And we'll get into that late in the second hour of the show, in the 5 o'clock hour. But first off, want to talk about, get right into the Patriots and the Chargers. A very nice 35-21 win over the San Diego Chargers right here at Gillette Stadium. And the most beautiful play I've ever seen in my life. It's obvious, isn't it? I mean, how could it not be? Vince Wilfork stumbling, and it wasn't even stumbling. I mean, he was just on, he looked like a gazelle running down the sideline. 28-yard return right at the end of the half. Would have gone all the way. He tried to, you know, go easy on the Chargers. Could have gone all the way if he wanted to. But, you know, he said, hey, no, it's the end of the half, and then we could just kind of, we'll milk the clock here and just end it. But what a play by Vince and the Patriots and the defense again, coming up big when they need to, causing a lot of, you know, turnovers again, four of them total, and, you know, none bigger than a fourth and one. Great play by McCourty and Mayo to stop the Chargers on a fourth and one at the one at the fourth and goal at the 1 yard line. Very, 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 very impressive. And as I was saying to John, here's the thing. All right, here I'm going to get right into my little theory, and I'm just asking people to consider this. Okay, just consider it. Speaking like Tom Hagen in The Godfather, he's talking to Sonny. Just consider it. All right, and I'm going to make a little bit of a baseball analogy here. And I was talking to Teddy Bruschi about this. He's on the radio, and he was doing a podcast with Mike Reese earlier, and he pretty much agrees about the overreaction because of net yardage on the defense. And first up, let me just say, as I said to John, where are all these people lined up to rip the Packers for giving up 57 points in two games, but the Patriots giving up 45, and that's supposed to be. And again, it's not an indictment on the Packers defense because they went up against a very good offensive team in New Orleans, just as the Patriots just did in San Diego. And Cam Newton, you know, may have caught him off guard a little bit, but, you know, Cam, I'll be honest with you, playing a lot better than I thought he would, made some nice throws, but you just knew in the end that the Packers were going to come up with big defensive plays. And that game got a little closer in the end, probably shouldn't have. I mean, Green Bay, you know, probably could have won that. You know, if you look at a couple of plays here and there, that game could have easily been 20-point win by Green Bay, but it wasn't. And even when they were down early, you just knew they were going to come back. I mean, you knew they were going to come back. That's just, I never had a doubt for a second that Green Bay was not going to win that game on Sunday. But I can guarantee you, despite the fact that it's a huge loss, that they lost Collins, do you think in Wisconsin right now that they're having a big pity party or going nuts like some people, that it's overreaction about the, about the amount of points they've given up? I certainly hope not. Or in New Orleans. And I'm just telling you here, and I'm not saying, again, nothing is perfect. There's always room for improvement. I agree. I grant everybody that. But you, the league has completely evolved. The days of holding teams to 250 yards, 200 yards or less, those days are over, people. I'm telling you, it's over. And don't talk to me about, you know, if they keep playing like this, they can't win a championship. Poppycock. That's another word that should be brought back. Okay? BS that they can't win. And this is far from the defense that we're going to see towards the end of the year. Okay? I know in the first two games, it's an easy analogy. You know, God forbid, again, people look at last year. They only gave up. They were tied for eighth with points allowed per game. The mighty Jets defense had 0.6 more allowed less a game than the Patriots. That's all it was when that was all said and done. And I'm telling you, people need to really focus on what has happened with the National Football League and all the great offenses out there. It is not an indictment on how bad some of these defenses might look on paper, okay? Now, I'm talking about the Patriots. I'm talking about the Packers. I'm talking about the Chargers. I'm talking about the Saints. Some of the elite teams, okay, who you know are probably going to be, I mean, I expect all those four teams I mentioned to go very far in the playoffs this year. That doesn't mean, and I doubt any of them are going to have, quote unquote, top three or four net defenses. Now, what San Diego did last year, and where did that get them? Big deal. You got to look at the situations where they were in the game. Here's what I'm going to compare it to, okay? And maybe I'm totally nuts, but I was thinking about this on the way down. I was actually thinking about it last night. And it's a baseball analogy, and some of you, I mean, I'm 44 years old, and so I remember I started following sports probably when I was like 6 or 7 years old, so probably, you know, 1973, 74, 75, right around there, first, second grade. I mean, I can clearly remember everything about the Red Sox and Patriots and 75 and all that stuff. And I remember how big a fan I was back then and staying up and sneaking out and watching the World Series games when I wasn't supposed to, all that stuff. So let me just say this. Remember back in the day of Major League Baseball, and I'm talking, you know, mid-80s, I mean, 70s and mid-80s, okay, and even the late 80s. If you had an ERA in baseball and pitching over 3, you were not considered very good. Like a 3.5, a pitcher back in the 70s and 80s with a 3.5 ERA, let me tell you something, you were an outcast, and 4, forget about it. You're like not even in the league. Now, there were exceptions here and there. But I'm just telling you, you know, now, if you have a pitcher that has an ERA of 4 or a little less, you are considered an elite pitcher. Because that's the evolution of the game. That's why you can't compare a lot of errors. It's tough to compare errors in sports. And I think what's happening is everybody around the National Football League, and a lot of people around here, media and fans alike sometimes, not because we're just spoiled, but falling into this trap about the way the defense is playing. It's not just them. It's not because they have this horrible defense or even mediocre defense. It's because the way the National Football League is evolving and has been for the last really 4 or 5 years, it's changing. It has changed. Half the teams in week one passed for over 300 yards. And I know it's easy to say about, you know, the OTAs and training camps and this, that, and the offenses are way ahead of the defenses right now and that kind of stuff. I'm not buying all that. I mean, it might be something that's, a little bit to do with it. But overall, there's just a lot of great players on offense, okay? It just is. It's tough. Guys are bigger, faster, stronger than they ever were before. Especially if you have a team like the Patriots that can utilize the tight ends like they do. You know, it's different. It's a passing league, number one. It wasn't like that, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. Not even close to what it is now. So things have changed. So I think the mentality has got to change amongst fans and media as far as when you start analyzing defenses, you're going to have to cut some slack here because now it's come to the point where if you can give up, you know, 300 yards or less, 300 yards is pretty good. Half the teams in the league are passing for over 300 yards a week. That doesn't mean your defense sucks or stinks. I mean, in some cases it does. But you guys know what I'm talking about. So that's my little analogy. You know, because if you had a 4 ERA back in 1978, you sucked as a pitcher. And now you're considered one of the elite. And the same thing can be said about net yardage stuff. People want to focus on net yard. And I still think there's way too many fantasy football people out there that apply those kind of numbers to real life, to real games, and what those statistics actually mean in the whole grand scheme of things. And like I've said a million times, all I care about is points allowed, red zone offense, red zone defense, and turnovers. Turnovers are so big. And you can't just say, just dismiss it. And just say, well, without those turnovers, this would have. I was out for dinner last night for about an hour. This is a Chinese restaurant near my house, And I'll tell you what, the torrential flood of illogic spewing, and I wasn't in any conversation. I'm just listening, and I'm just absorbing, and I'm going from like one guy to the next, all of the torrential flood of illogic spewing from some of these freaking idiots out there who say, who have this, they coat everything with these generic blanket statements after two games. And it's just, I'm like, and these are not kids. These were older people, like, you know, 50 plus, trust me. And I'm listening to this going, you know what? The intelligence in this place right now couldn't make up, you know, the size of half of an amoeba's brain, if that's the way these people are thinking. And it wasn't, it was like six guys sitting there just going back and forth across the bar, you know, yelling and bitching about the Patriots defense. And I wanted to say, hello, they just beat a very good football team, 35-21. You could tell Belichick after that game how happy he was the way they played that game, the way it turned out, the way they went, obviously. Much happier with the way they played in that game than he was with Miami. Although I think Miami was fairly pleased as well. How could you not be with the offense and everything else? But again, that was week one down in Miami. They kind of expected to win that game. And I expect him to come out and say things like, there's certainly, we can improve on all phases of the game. I mean, I understand all that. But if you can't see the difference in his remarks from game one to game two, and they're little subtleties, but I mean, I've known the man long enough and listened to him long enough to realize, I mean, he was downright. I mean, for him, that was like doing jumping jacks after that game. I think he thought that was, you know, that's a pretty special win. I think when he looks back on it at the end of this season, he's going to say, no, that was a pretty good win against a very good football team. So all I'm asking is, and as far as media people go, they'll always be out. There's always going to be those, the old timers out there and some other people out there who are just going to say, you know, if the way the Patriots play defense or the way the rest of the league is playing defensive now may not, you know, they may not like it, but that's just the way it is. This is an offense-driven league, and don't talk to me about, you know, the, like their defense last year couldn't have won a championship, or their defense this year the way it's going. That's crap. That's crap. Because if you feel that way about the Patriots, then you must think the Green Bay Packers are worse, because they've given up more points this year than the Patriots, and I got to look it up, but I think they've given up more yard, just as much yardage, or very, very close to it. Who cares? They're both 2-0. They're both superior teams. Doesn't matter. Really doesn't. What matters is the turnovers, the forced turnovers, points off the first turnovers, red zone offense, red zone defense. I know right now the Patriots' red zone defense doesn't, you know, after two games, they've given up, I think, 73% of the time they've given up red zone scores. I understand that. But again, look at the situation. Look at the red zone. I mean, the red zone scores, what, two of them last week when they were up by, you know, what, 17 points? Or they're way ahead, they're ahead in the game. And a lot of that stuff you have to take into consideration. All right? Now, the turnovers were obviously much bigger this week in this game, as they happened in the past when they seemed to play San Diego, because they led to 17 points for the Patriots. Now, all I'm saying is you just have to look at everything as a whole and stop with this net yardage garbage for the most part. I mean, it has something to do with the games, but not as big a piece of the pie as you think. And if you're going to go overboard with that, then you damn well better go overboard with the turnovers and how they stop people at the one-yard line and how they get turnovers, and that can counter some of the net yardage stuff. You got to look at the big picture. I'm so sick and tired. People coding, not just the Patriots, other teams, with these blanket statements after one or two games. It's ridiculous. And I was so aggravated listening to these guys in a bar last night. I didn't even eat my food, my dim sum. Which means from the heart, by the way. I read that somewhere. And just spewing just crap and garbage and diarrhea of the mouth for like half an hour. And I wanted to wring their necks and slap them in the face and say, what the hell games have you guys been watching? And haven't we learned, as sports fans, especially around here, have been so spoiled. But for God's sakes, can't you just realize how special that we have it here? You can't win every game 38-10 every week. I've been saying this for freaking years. I said it. I remember saying it in EI during games where they beat Cleveland 9-0 during Super Bowl years. It always seems like it's never enough. That's the hypocrisy of the whole thing. If the Patriots beat the Packers I mean, if they had beaten the Chargers yesterday or Sunday, you know, 10-3, there would be column after column. What's wrong with the Patriot offense? See, the Chargers had the number one ranked defense last year, and the only reason why the Patriots scored 23 points last year was because of turnovers, because of stupid turnovers. And this year, you see, now, well, see, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you get. By the way, Kevin, how the hell do I get Judge Judy off the televisions in here? What is NFL Network, please? And, you know, because I can't deal with that. Thank you. If you please, NFL Network on one, ESPN on the other, that would be fantastic. Thank you. Because these TVs are much different in the way that the channels are set up than whatever. But, so that's why I get a tad aggravated, and that's why I'm asking everybody, you just reconsider with the analogy I said about baseball, about pitching ERA and turning that about and about net yardage. You have to do that because the days of the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens are done. Those aren't happening anymore. That's not going to happen with very, very few exceptions. We saw New Orleans win the Super Bowl a couple years ago. You know, I think they were, I mean, I believe if at the time, if you want to go by net yard, I think they were 18th or 23rd, something like that overall in defense. That's not my water, but I would love water or soda. That's not mine. It can be. Oh, it's not open. Thank you. So just take all of this into consideration. The Patriots did a lot of nice things on the field. Obviously, offensively, I mean, they're a freaking juggernaut, as I said. It's going to be better than last year. I think the numbers are going to be better than last year. And I know for most people, they can go 16-0, and everyone's going to say, well, that's fine, but what are they going to do in the playoffs? And I'm not one of those people, because I think every year is its own separate entity. But all I'm asking for is everybody out there, you got to take a step back, and you got to look and see at the evolution of where the National Football League is. It is a passing league, and you're going to see much more yardage now because of the way the game is. It just dictates. You're in a passing league. You're going to see more net. You're going to see more yards per game. That's just the way. That's the way it's going. There's no more, you know, running three times to Walter Payton in a cloud of dust. That kind of stuff. Those days are done, for the most part. So before everybody starts to panic, and there's always certain, I'm not saying that things can't get better or they shouldn't play better or a certain thing. Of course they can. I'm just saying you look at the National Football League overall, you got to take a step back and stop thinking that teams can hold teams to 200 yards a game. It ain't going to happen anymore for the most part. It isn't going to happen. Unless you're playing the Chiefs or some really crappy team. You know, not the Chiefs are going to be crappy for the whole year, but they're playing like crap now. I mean, it's not going to happen. Just go look at the numbers through all the rest of the league. So, there you have it. There's my little rant for the day. But aggravate when I hear fans give out put out these blanket statements. You know, sometimes it happens during games, and you know they take one play and turn it into a season or a career. Really, it's kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you. I mean, some of you grow up in a lot of ways, you know. One play is not reflection of a whole season or the way a team is or all that stuff. You know, I hear stuff, some of the stuff that you see and read. I shake my head. And a lot of it comes from analysts. And another one. How about anybody see Michael or anybody talk about this, Kevin? Did you see Michael Irvin on the NFL Network on Sunday?
No, nobody talked.
I posted it on Facebook right away Sunday. Just for the hell of it.
Jaws.
Michael Irvin. Now, I don't know what the hell some of these people are watching. Michael Irvin says on Sunday on NFL Network, around 11:30, quarter 12, says, well, I think the Patriots will, you know, they will win because they'll dink and dunk their way. Michael Irvin around 11:45. In fact, I posted it seconds after he said it on Facebook because I just thought it was such a stupid, ridiculous, outrageous, moronic statement. Now, Michael Irvin, all that tells me is the only film you've seen of the Patriots is maybe from 2001. Because they haven't been a dink and dunk offense in a long time. Now, maybe you can say a little bit when they had Rashay Caldwell, a little bit in 2006, you know, for a time being. But in the end, they certainly weren't playing that way. But for Michael Irvin to come out and say, you know, they have some dink and dunk offense and that's why they're going to win. I mean, just absolutely stupid. You know, you could get some bum off the street to come into NFL Network and come up with better analysis than that. I mean, it's embarrassing. I don't know how some of these people get. I really don't know how some of these ex-athletes again get jobs, and some of the media people as well with their analysis. But I got to tell you, Howard Cosell for everything, and you know, Howard Cosell was always very fearful of ex-athletes going on the air becoming broadcasters. I think many of them are very good. I think Teddy Bruschi is excellent. I think Rodney Harrison is very good. I think Ron Jaworski is very good. I think John Gruden is very good for the most part, although he
this
tends to be.
This thing is a whopping 16 inches.
He's in the next room, by the way. And
lucky this glass is soundproof.
He's such a great guy. We had a nice conversation about 20 minutes outside. And but I'm sorry. I just think some of these players, the biases are just too strong for or against whatever team they're talking about. They can't really analyze correctly their former team, or they have some vendetta against some other team that happened during the career. There's so many bad predictions out there. Horrible stuff. I mean, and forget the scores of the game. Just the way they think the game is going to go. I told you, Tony Dungy 2 weeks ago, before Dallas and the Jets, comes on and says, well, Jets are going to win big. How? I don't understand how you come out. Now, I'm not saying Jets want to win the game, but how do you come out and say the Jets are going to win big? I mean, I don't know. To me, that was just come out with a big time blanket statement like that. It's crazy. You know, I thought this game this week with the Patriots and Chargers would be a little closer. I picked the Chargers to cover the 8 points, and I went up to 8 or 7. You know, Patriots, it didn't turn out that way. I'm glad about that. Not my picks, which I'll get to in a second, a little bit later on. By the way, my super duper lock and my miraculous, meat miraculous pick won again. With the New Orleans Saints.
2-0.
Yeah, 2-0.
I get a special little ditty for your picks on Thursday.
Oh, nice. Nice. I love that. But I just lost my train of thought, whatever I was talking about. But, you know, overall, like I said, you just have to, understand the evolution of the National Football League. I'm not saying my comments are any better or worse than some people, but I'll tell you what. When you have some of these idiots, fans, media, and ex-players alike, who put out these blanket statements all the time, you can't even have a simple discussion. A lot of it is subjective, okay? But I'm telling you, when it comes to this kind of stuff, there's too much proof right now about the evolution of the National Football League. The passing league, we all know it's a passing league now. You're going to see more yards per game. That's just the way it is. You're just going to have to readjust your thinking about what you think is a good or great defense. The days of 85 Bears and 2000 Ravens are done. Done. That doesn't mean this Patriot team can't get better. Of course they're going to get better. If the Packers are going to let up, an average of whatever they are, 28 points a game, that's not going to happen. We all know that. You got to take each game into consideration. Who they're playing, where they're playing, score of the game, all that stuff. So, that being said, let's get to the emails, some of them anyway, and I'll have more on a whole bunch of stuff later. But, again, one moment with a little rant. So this week, people are talking about, okay, the Patriots gave up 10 of 12 on third down conversions, and got a lot of hype. Now, where were all these people last week when the Dolphins went 2 for 14 on third down? It didn't get the same amount of coverage as this did, against a much superior offense. And one of the great tight ends in football got shut out. All right. Now, you could say McCourty had, his difficulties at times. I agree. But I don't know. He had Marshall and Jackson to cover the first 2 weeks. Okay? Overall, I think he did okay. As a room for improvement, of course there is. He nearly had an interception in the first week. And he came up big. That stop on Tolbert. I mean, McCourty was a big part of that too, If you go back and watch that play, I mean, McCourty was actually three quarters of the reason why Mayo was able to come in and make that stop on the goal line. Go back and watch it. You'll see. But certainly, I mean, those are two very difficult matchups with it. And you watch it. And again, what will happen this week is the next 2 weeks, they got Buffalo and at Oakland, okay? I mean, they own Buffalo. I don't give a damn what the hell Buffalo's record is and whatever. That's going to that, especially there, that game will probably be ugly. You know, at some point will be ugly. And yeah, Fitzpatrick in the first game last year had a good game against the Patriots, all that crap, blah, blah, blah. That game in Buffalo, I mean, they just got the Patriots own them and they own them in Buffalo. They've won 15 straight. I have no doubt about it that the Patriots are going to win that game next week. Probably handily. And especially, you know, Roscoe Parrish on special teams, huge, huge loss for them. He's out for the year. And but I'm saying is regarding McCourty, people will start to overreact, go back the other way. Oh, see? You know, now McCourty's, you know, had 2 good weeks against Buffalo and the Raiders, so now he's back to normal. Well, you can't do that either. You know, you got to look at each game individually. Dare I say, I know Vincent Jackson had a career high in 10 catches and all that stuff. But, I mean, Gates was only targeted one time. One time for no catches. And the two people that McCourty has had to cover the last couple of weeks, Marshall and, you know, they're talking about very, very good wide receivers. Vincent Jackson and Marshall are tall, strong men. There are not a lot of cornerbacks in the league that can consistently cover these guys. And through all of that, they still lost by 2 touchdowns in New England. And the Patriots making plays on defense again when they had to. So you can sit there and you know, again, can they improve? Of course they can. And they will. It's only week two. Okay? But I'm tired of these overall generic blanket statements about what they're, you know, what they can't do. What they might do. I mean, Tom Curran had a nice piece today on his ComcastSportsNewEngland.com blog. I think he had like 17 things and 38 lines about what he thought the pay. And it was good. And I think his 16th one was, by Thanksgiving or by mid-November, this Patriots defense will have come together. And I think he's right, you know, barring any major injuries. I think he's right. I just think you have to, when you start talking about the defense is, please, you got to take into consideration, you know, who they're playing, what the situation is, how many points they're up by. There's a lot of things to factor in. It's not all about sacks, which is the most overrated stat in the NFL, in my opinion. You can cause pressure without having sack numbers. Sack numbers, to me, in some cases, can be a lot like stolen bases in baseball. A lot of times. No, they look flashy, but, you know, in the whole grand scheme of things, what did it mean? You know, it's nice to have them. Nice to have, a Mark Gastineau in his prime, Lawrence Taylor, that kind of a thing. But can they put more pressure on the quarterback? Yes, they're going to get better at that. On the other hand, if the refs keep calling stupid plays, stupid penalties like they did on Carter, which was just a textbook tackle, what he did. I mean, then the league's in some trouble. I mean, that is something that's just got to be addressed by the league. And that was embarrassing that they called that play. They call a penalty on that. But so we're broadcasting live at our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. I am fired up. So happy about the win on Sunday. Looking forward to this Sunday against Buffalo. But, you know, I just want to see what you guys think about what I've been talking about the evolution of the National Football League and the offenses. So give me a call. Facebook me, webradio@patriots.com. When we come back, right to the emails and right to the Facebook messages and your phone calls. Right here on the Pete Shepherd Show until 6 on Patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com radio.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
That
is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Who will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
Back here on Pete Shepherd Show, Patriots.com, live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Of course, you can Facebook me. Everything as well that you'd like, and I will read all your posts. I'll get to those in a second. Don't send me any private messages, please. It's just easier for me to get to. I've just posted on my wall. By the way, the Palm Beach Post, this is a sad day for Dolphin fans once again. The Palm Beach Post reporting. We hardly knew you, Larry, but Larry Johnson reportedly cut by the Miami Dolphins. So, boy, oh, boy, what a career he had over there. Just outstanding. It brings a tear to my eye when I think about it. I don't know about you. I think he had 1 yard. Legendary, though. Can only, you know, be right up there. Gracie, Johnson, Zonka, Shula. Oh, good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. All right, let's get some of these emails at webradio@patriot.com. Steve in Killeen, Texas says, "First, it's good to have you back, brother. I wanted to go in another direction as the Pats D is a known point of concern for all Pats fans. Without overlooking the Bills this week, what is your take on the Jets, then the Pats facing the Raiders in back-to-back weeks? My take is having the same opponent back-to-back will be a good indicator of where the two teams actually are. Oh, and I totally agree with you on Vince. No fly zone, Will Fork. I'm just waiting for Bill to rotate him into defensive back, not unlike what happened with Troy. I do everything but kick Brown from years ago. Keep the great work. That's from Steve in Texas. Well, thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. Yeah, I don't think Vince is going to be once again, Kevin, it happened again with the computer. I'm sorry. But I see, I'm always careful when, you know, and the Raiders are facing the Jets. The Jets are going to be hosting the Patriots and Raiders back-to-back weeks at home. Oh, I'm sorry. Oakland. I think Oakland's coming to New York, right? I think Oakland's coming to the Jets. I got to look that up. I think Oakland's coming to the Jets. Oh, the Jets are going there? All right, so it is. The Raiders are hosting the Jets and the Patriots in back-to-back weeks. And, you know, it all depends. And here's why. I don't put a lot of stock in that stuff because the Patriots, you know, had their worst game of the year last year against Cleveland, you know, nearly halfway through. And the Jets played Cleveland like it might have been a week or two before, a week or two after, and I can't remember which right now. I mean, the Jets won in overtime.
Yeah, they barely escaped.
They should have lost. I mean, they were getting outplayed the whole game. So I just don't put a lot of stock in that kind of stuff because a lot of times, you know, it just doesn't matter. I mean, every game is different. Every game is different. So, and I certainly don't think in any game you can expect the Jets to outscore the Patriots against anybody because this is not their way. You know? That's just not the way they play offense. So I think it's not fair. I hate to say this. It's not fair to the Jets to compare them against the Raiders as it would be the Patriots because the Jets could win 16-7 and still look pretty dominant. The Patriots can win 52-10, obviously, and it might look worse. But in the whole grand scheme of things, you know, what does it all mean? I mean, you expect the Patriots to put up big offensive numbers. I don't know if you expect the Jets to put up, you know, much more than 21 points a game. For the most part, I don't. It's just not the way they do it. Gene says, hi, Pete. I got to watch the Jets versus Jaguars here in Florida. And as I said, Maurice Jones-Drew ran all over the Jets. So the only problem was Del Rio. The Jets and Sanchez really sucked. And if stupid Del Rio would have started Blaine Gabbert, and the Jets would have lost. I thought Sanchez was trying to give the game away. Only Luke McGowan wanted to give it away more. The Jets should be 0-2 right now, but because of Dallas and Jacksonville beating themselves, they are 2-0 stars right now. I hope my brother on Long Island is listening to your show. Well, it is interesting, and I know you know, and Gene hates like the Jets more than I do, but it really was embarrassing. I mean, if you remember the reason, I mean, the Jets went into Meadowlands last year, I believe, and won that game 24-22. I mean, sorry, Jacksonville. Went into New Jersey last year and won that game 24-22. I thought it would be a much closer game. It was. I mean, the Jaguars, both teams looked like sloppy in the first half, very sloppy, turning the ball over. And it was not a very fluid type of game. But, you know, Jacksonville just screwed up so much that that the Jets just capitalized on everything. It's just horrible. Luke McGowan, quarterback, and it's just you're just not going anywhere with that. Hi, Pete and Kevin. How do you think the AFC East will end up? And here's how I think we'll end up. Here's the Patriots 15-1, the Bills 12-4. He's a big fella. Gene also said Dolphins 10-6, Jets 8-8. As far as people being nervous about our defensive stats, I do not believe in stats, just how a team plays. I predict we will end up with a top four defense at the end of the regular season, so I would tell those nervous nillies just look at the scoreboard. Well, no, I don't think you're going to see a top four defense by the Patriots because that's all judged by net yardage and I just don't see that with the Patriots because they're in so many blowout games and so many games up big. They give up a lot of net yards and yards that doesn't count. I'm not saying that's happened a lot in the last 2 weeks. Happened some in the Miami game and didn't happen a lot, obviously, on Sunday. Doug from Texas says, to reiterate your point, remember the, turnovers, yes. Nick says, can you please tell the fans at Foxborough to start cheering for this team and jeering the other team, at least on third downs? Sick and tired of watching Pats games from Victoria, British Columbia, and comparing the docile Pats fans to the terrible Seahawks, my closest NFL team, and their unreal fan base scream the other team right out of the stadium. I wish I could go to every Patriots game. I would give my right leg to have the team sitting in my backyard like New England fans have. I think the fans have become complacent with the once-in-a-lifetime offense and don't seem to get riled up about anything anymore. That's why they don't cheer, and that's why I constantly complain about the D because of their spoiled brats. Even our quarterback has to call your asses out because he is sick of your complacency. Makes me want to puke. Nick in Victoria, British Columbia. Well, the problem is the people I talked to this week said that that crowd, and Kevin, you were there live, they said it was one of the loudest crowds they've had there in a long time.
Sure was. Not only live, but on the field. I can tell you it was loud. You know?
It seemed loud to me. It seemed a lot louder.
Yeah, and especially on third down, people brought it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good to see. Brady, I think, got him riled up the week before.
Yep.
And, you know, coming into the stadium, a lot of the stadium employees were telling me they were arriving at about 11, 11:30 for the game, and there was already a line to get into the lots. You know,
yeah, I'm not surprised. Plus, it was a beautiful day.
Beautiful
it was a great day to tailgate.
And 4:15 games are always the best because you don't have to wake up early and you don't get home late.
That's right.
So it was just the perfect storm.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I heard the same from a lot of people that were here. And, you know, the one thing for me is that I do enjoy a little bit. I mean, I still wish I was doing a post-game show of some sort. But it is because, you know, it's a 10-hour day when you come. Even as a media person, it's a 10-hour day when you come here. I mean, you got to get here. I used to get here at the tent, you know, for 4 o'clock games, get down here at noontime because you don't want to be stuck in traffic. And then you watch the game. That's 3 hours. So it's already a 7-hour day, and then it's 3 hours. It's doing the show 3 hours after, and then going home. So it's really by the time you get home, it's like an 11. It's almost 11. Between 10 and 12 hours for some people. So I do enjoy, you know, watching the game at home with my friends and or whomever, and it's kind of relaxing. To be honest, it's kind of relaxing. It's not that you know. I don't want to do post-game shows again because I do miss doing them. I love it. It's nothing better than being on right after the game. I love it. Despite all the somewhat semi-intoxicated fans, at times that can be a little nerve-wracking, get on your nerves, and it's tough for producers at any level to get them all off. But it's a lot of fun. But it is fun also. It's such a great television sport, and the Red Zone channel is just unbelievable. So when the Patriots are playing at 4 o'clock, you get 3 hours of Red Zone channel, and it's just fantastic. It's just fantastic to watch. But, yeah, I mean, you make a couple of interesting points. I just want everybody to realize what is going on here with the National Football League, if you haven't already, and that things are not going to change all that much. Half the league in week one passed for over 300 yards. I'm sure the number will come out. I haven't looked it up for this week yet, but it's probably close. I mean, Cam Newton had 400-plus yards against the Packers on Sunday. Now, Chad Henne had 400-something yards, too, against the Patriots 2 weeks ago. So, but really, does it, you know, Does that mean that those two defenses are soft and going to play that way the whole year? And, you know, if you look at net yardage again, if you just looked at net yardage and nothing else, you know, those fantasy numbers, people would, you know, some people go crazy. And the NFL analysts love to do this. And they just don't look deep enough inside the numbers. They really don't. They really don't. Like I said, I thought Bill Parcells on Sunday made the best point of anybody I've heard in quite some time. And he's like, people have got to realize that these quarterbacks and these receivers, the tight ends are running. I mean, they are now conditioned for passing at a younger, much younger age. And again, I don't go out and watch a lot of high school football, but I got to believe, I mean, according to Bill anyway, he was talking about this. I mean, these high-powered offenses or passing-type offenses are starting at the junior high level. So these kids are much more prepared as they approach the college level. Those are good enough to play. And then after that, into the NFL because they are prepared at a much younger age. And I think it shows. I mean, even in college football, I watch a lot of college football. There's a lot of really good quarterbacks out there. There are. I mean, it's tough. You know, and there's a lot of good defensive players out there, too. And in college, it's a little easier to define your defense sometimes because of the cupcakes on the schedule, and it kind of evens out the stats in a lot of these games. But, you know, I think it was a great point by Tuna on Sunday about having these kids are much more prepared to play high-powered football, high-powered offense football at a much younger age.
We should come straight here from the party. That's a pretty good observation.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Let's see. Mary Beth says, need to find some Pats fans headed to Buffalo for Sunday. It's a very rough crowd there. Actually, I've heard just the opposite. I mean, I haven't been to Buffalo for a game. I've been to Buffalo before, not for a game.
I'll give you a report. I'm going.
Are you going?
So I'll give you a report next week on if it's rough or not.
So she's headed to the Buffalo game on Sunday, but there's usually a good Patriots contingency of fans there.
That was always my impression. I've never heard of it being like Philly or something
that. No, no. Well, nothing like Philly. I mean, by the way, my second super-duper lock was Atlanta. And that was just a thing of beauty. Not to see Michael Vick hurt, but although I'm sure a lot of people were jumping up and down when it happened. Jake says, Pete, you're coming in loud and clear with the new FM signal. Do you think Ridley eventually replaces Green Ellis as the primary back this year? I think Green Ellis would be great for the fourth quarter when the opponent is tiring. I think Ridley can be much more explosive, though. I don't think you mess with anything right now in the offense. I mean, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is, to me, I mean, he gets labeled like an efficient back. I think he's much more than that. I think he's a damn good football player. I really do. Doesn't turn the ball over. And every time they need a certain amount of yards, he seems to be able to get it. He seems to be able to finish games. We know how good he is on the goal line scoring touchdowns. We know that. And I just don't, you know, there were certain games. And here's another thing. Speaking of the running game, here's another reason you're going to see a lot of people. Some people are going to start getting crazy a little bit about Danny Woodhead. Well, Danny only had 6 touches in the game on Sunday, which I respond. Somebody asked me this the other night, and I respond. I go, yeah, so what? You know what? This week against Buffalo, you might have 26 touches. I don't know. I don't know what the game plan is. The game plan for that particular game on Sunday against the Chargers was for the law firm to get majority of the touches. That's just the way the game panned out. Just the way it was. It's not a lack of faith in Danny Woodhead. You know, I heard that this week too already. Why do we go to such extremes over stats sometimes? It's just the offensive power. A prowess on this team, that the amount of different players that they have that they can rotate in and out. You know, you can't go nuts one way or the other. Same thing with Chad. You know, Chad had 2 nice catches on Sunday. I thought he'd have like 4, maybe a touch, but I mean, you can tell. And this week, with Hernandez not being able to play, I mean, I think Chad would be even more part of the offense. I just don't, you know. I'm not saying anything bad about Ridley. I don't know. I just don't think you don't mess with what you know, right now, you know, and yeah, Ridley came in, had a couple nice runs on Sunday, but you're not going to mess around with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead right now. There's no need to. It's not to say that in the next couple of years he can't be the man, but not right now. Let's see. What else I got here on Facebook? And again, you can email me as well, webradio@patriots.com. Email me at webradio@patriots.com. TJ says, this is a question more for you, Kev. Can you download any apps yet, Pete, to listen on the iPhone? I think I asked this before.
I think you can. I'm just not an expert on it. That's a web yeah, monkey question.
Okay. Well, we'll
I just produce.
If you just show up. You just do your thing. Billy says, because I said I had a nice job with Teddy Bruschi before, Billy says, so far he's an incredible analyst, and believe me, I'm a critic, especially of ex-athletes. There are a lot of good ones. I'm figuring he can only get better as well. I think Teddy does an excellent job. Todd says, Pete, I totally agree with your points on the league and about it turning into a passing league. I think when a rookie quarterback like Newton can put up almost 900 yards in his first 2 games, it only proves your point more. Keep up the great work, guys, and go Pats. Todd from Newfoundland. Or Newfoundland. Excellent. Yeah, I mean, what does that tell you? Now, granted, he's a Heisman Trophy winner, okay? But we've seen Heisman Trophy winners before. Tim Tebow, you know, where are they? By the way, has Denver fans calmed down yet about Kyle Orton? Okay, he's going to be the quarterback. Well, Tebow got in one on a couple offensive plays, didn't he? came in as a receiver or something, whatever the hell he did. I'm so Tim Tebow'd out that I just don't care. And he is what he is. I mean, anybody who thought he was going to be some superstar quarterback in this league, yeah, you just don't understand the game. Because it's a big difference from being a great college quarterback to being a great NFL quarterback. A big difference. And, you know, you can see guys like him with their mechanics, the way they are, the way they operate, you know, that they're going to have problems. Now, one guy who I will say overcame that much more than I thought he was, because I remember I was a little critical of him when he was drafted, was Philip Rivers. And because when he was at NC State, he had that crazy release. Not crazy, but it seemed like, it just didn't seem like your average great quarterback. I mean, you're, you know, what a great quarterback would be, but he certainly has become one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. So, but there's something about Tim Tebow that I just don't think is ever going to be a star quarterback in this league. And I could be wrong, but I just don't see it. So overall, I think fans, you've got to be impressed with what the Patriots have done in the first 2 weeks. You really do. 2-0, best offense in the league. You know, defense coming up with big plays when they need to. And we got to stop this mentality of if they don't win 35-10, then it's a lost game. This guy actually said this. The place I was telling you had dinner last night. This guy actually said this. He's yelling across the bar to some guy going, "In America." Now, it took a lot. I mean, you know me. I kept my mouth shut. I really did. I swallowed. I said, you know what? I'm just going to say nothing. I'm going to be like a sponge and absorb all this stupidity and try not to let it affect me. I was getting agita while I was eating, listening to it. But other than that, guy says, the quote, this is a quote from this idiot across the way from me last night. He says, "The Patriots were lucky to win that game." Now, what does that tell you about the mentality of some of the fans out there? The Patriots were lucky to win that game. And I just shake my head and I say, what are you watching? It's another guy that if you don't win by 4 touchdowns every game and allow 14 points or less, it's a failed game. And I just said, you know, keep sipping your Bud Lights, buddy. And again, it's not some kid saying this. You know? It's like if some 55-year-old...
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
But, I, you know, I hear that stuff and I try to block it out. I really do, because you hear a lot of, you know... I just think real football fans, and thank God on the Patriots.com, I mean, we have a lot of good fans on this site. We really do. And I'm not saying that. I think the questions that come in are very intelligent, well thought out for the most part. I understand fans can be fans, and you sometimes overreact one way or the other. Sometimes I do the same thing. Try not to anymore. I think I've come to a point where I know when to be overly critical or critical, and I know when not to be. I've just been around this team too long, and fortunately, in the renaissance of the team, basically, from Drew Bledsoe on, been around this team a lot, and I've just seen a lot of games, and not just, I mean, you just study the game, you watch a lot of football, and you can see difference. I mean, if you watch the St. Louis Giant game last night, I mean, that's a game, it's just too bad that I think Bradford is going to be one of the elite quarterbacks in the game eventually myself. I think he's terrific. And Eli Manning I won't say the word sucks because that's too harsh and I'd be being a hypocrite of what I just said about overreacting. But he's just mediocre. And he's always going to be mediocre. He's exactly what I said from way back when they used to goof on me on the radio and that kind of stuff, when I called him a hick and all that stuff, which is more of a fun thing. He's mediocre. And please don't talk to me about the Super Bowl MVP, because that was not, you know what, let's see what Eli Manning could do with Rashay Caldwell as your number one wide receiver and see if we can get a team like that to the AFC Championship or NFC Championship. I seriously doubt it. I mean, he's just mediocre at best. He just is. And, I mean, that offense was pathetic last night. I don't know how, only because of, again, stupid turnovers did St. Louis lose that game. Because they were ready to go up by double digits. They could have very easily in that game. And it would have been interesting to see if they were completely healthy. If Amendola and was playing a receiver, and, of course, if Steven Jackson were playing. So you see teams like that, and if you watch the Red Zone channel, and you just see some horrible football. And how about the Miami Dolphins? Is it possible they're going to go 1-7 again at home? They're 0-2 already. Holy crap. You know, I mean, Houston's a decent team. And the other thing to get ready for this week is you're going to hear about the Baltimore Ravens and all their struggles. Watch. Again, obviously one of the elite teams in the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens. But because they lost to Tennessee, which I think is a pretty up-and-coming team, by the way, you know, people will overreact to a Baltimore-Tennessee game, too, in the other way. I mean, Baltimore's going to be there in the end. They're one of the best teams in the AFC. They're going to be there. You know, they just didn't look that good against Tennessee. So I'm just telling you, in just week two, and again, this means nothing. It's completely subjective. We're going to take a break in a minute. But completely subjective in some cases because it's only a small sampling. But the Patriots and Packers and the Saints aren't too far behind. And they have major injury problems, and they've had some injury problems on offense too. So I'd say the little bit. But the Patriots and Packers are so far ahead of everybody else that it's pathetic. And so, it just is. I mean, New Orleans is right there. New Orleans is close. And San Diego is close. I mean, New Orleans and San Diego are right there. But don't you just get that feeling, at least right now, I mean, the Patriots are still, I mean, the Patriots and Packers are so far above and everybody else is way below. With New Orleans and San Diego, the talent that they have, if the Patriots and Packers weren't in the NFL, those two teams, the New Orleans and Chargers, would no question in my mind be the two favorites for the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, as talented as those two teams are, they are so far below, in my opinion, what the Patriots and Packers are in a lot of ways. Even though you can make a case on opening night, New Orleans could have tied that game, gone over, and, you know, anything could have happened. They had a chance to win that game. You can make a case, certainly, that San Diego kept it close for most of the game, and the Patriots needed some turnovers, and they did all that stuff. But it's just watching the games and watching all these teams play that you just knew the Patriots and you knew the Packers were going to find a way. Did anybody think the Packers were going to lose that game on Sunday down early like that to 13-0? I had no doubt that game was going to get ugly for Carolina in the second half. It ended up being a little closer than it should have been because that could have easily been, you know, a double-digit to 14, 21-point win by the Packers. It easily could have been. You knew Cam was going to come back to earth a little bit, throw some picks, you know, succumb to some of the pressure. And it certainly happened. I'll give him credit. I'll give him credit to the end, fighting to the end. I mean, he brought him back down the field down by 10 or whatever it was, 14. He cut the lead to 7. So, I mean, I'll give him credit. He's played a hell of a lot better initially than I thought he would. But there's a long way to go. There's a long way to go. Quick break. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. It's the Pete Shepherd Show. We're broadcasting live at our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. You can also Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETSHEPPARD. I come back, more of your messages. And again, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline as well, 508-298-0398. Back with more from you guys after this on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com.
Pete Shepherd. Pete Shepherd. The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
I knew you... What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !!!! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
But I have respect for them. I just hate them. What can I tell you?
That was very good, Pete.
I'm telling you, I should have been. I was trained as a professional opera singer when I was five.
I got goosebumps from that.
Did you? I did too. You know, feel like that's what I do. I make people feel tingly. You know, I have that effect on people. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Doing it live. Our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. It's hour number two here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook stuff. I'll get to that as well. Let me get a couple. I'm going to hear from Bill Belichick, his conference call today, too, that most of you are not privy to, but we're going to do it right here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Todd says, Pete, why were you having dinner with PFW's Andy Hart and Paul Perillo last night? It's good to hear someone make sense on Pats.com radio. Preach it, Pete. Todd in NS. I don't know what
it's Todd from Nova Scotia.
Oh, Nova Scotia. Okay.
Yep, he writes in quite a bit.
Yeah, so I only heard the first 10 to 15 minutes of the boys today on the noon show, so I don't know if they're in panic mode. Is that what they're telling me?
No, I mean they picked the Chargers last week.
Yeah.
It was weird cuz when they do their weekly picks in PFW, pretty much everybody else picked the Patriots and those two picked the Chargers. But I don't know. They're not sold, as you could say, on the defense.
Dale says in his headline, "Cut us some slack, Pete." Well, again, when I say, and I haven't read the email yet, I'm not even looking at it, and Kevin can witness this. You got to understand, I'm not painting a blanket scenario over all the fans. I'm talking some. after week two. But I'm going to read your Dale's email. Says, "Hi, Pete. Sure, there's cynical fans out there, parentheses including me, who would like nothing better than to be wrong about the Pats' defense after two games. If we just sit down and shut up, there's no talk at all." That's not what I'm saying either. "The Pats could go 14-2 again this year, and we'd still wonder about how things would go after the bye week. The improvements we wanted to see on the defense haven't emerged yet, and sure, they are likely to come together and improve as the year goes on, especially on the front, but they still look pretty passive in the fourth quarter, and that last San Diego drive was awful. I think the Pats had the game well in hand and buried San Diego on offense in the end. But we are looking for the defense to stuff a good offense late in the game sooner rather than later, and that last drive was a good time to do it. The stats aren't helping our confidence, and neither is Devin McCourty at this point." Now, he goes on to say, "A win is a win, of course, but how about beating the Jets 2 out of 3 this year, or responding with a little pressure of their own when the Pats O-line gets stuffed, which is bound to happen later or in the postseason at some point? Spoiled or not, with the way Tom Brady is playing now, the Patriots ought to be able to get that fourth Lombardi trophy one of these next couple of years." All right, Dale, that's a good email. And I think your points are valid. I'm not saying they're not. But here's the part I have a problem with. "But we are looking for the defense to stuff a good offense late in the game sooner rather than later." Well, what about the 4 turnovers they scored? What about stuffing stuffing Tolbert on the 1 yard line with McCourty, by the way, allowing Mayo to come up and make that play? I mean, so why didn't you bring up the 4 turnovers and stuffing them on the goal line? Now, so you can say all you want about some of the other things, and they're valid, but, you know, a stuff is a stuff. I mean, wherever it happens, it happens. "We're looking for the defense," you say, "to stuff a good offense late in the game sooner rather than later." Well, late in the game, it didn't matter. They're up by 2 touchdowns. So, but sooner rather than later, they did. They stopped them. The Chargers got into, they're inside the Patriots' 35-yard line 3 times, and the Patriots caused 3 turnovers. They stopped them. I mean, they stopped them. And then it was a 4th-and-1 later on. So, you know, some of what you're saying is true, but you got to count the turnovers. You got to factor that all in. Chris in Toronto says, "Being a Bills fan, I'm wondering what perspective you Pats fans have on Buffalo. Do you see us rollovers since you've taken us since, what, 2003? Do you see us as a real challenge? Just wondering, since over here in Bills Nation, hope is running high. Thanks." Oh, it should be running high. And look, I mean, anybody can beat anybody in any given day. That's stupid cliche. That's true. But, I mean, the Patriots have owned the Bills. And the games, what's scary is the games have been close. The games that have been close have been here in Foxborough. The Buffalo games have been annihilations. And like I said, I think, you know, Roscoe Parrish out, it'd be tough. I mean, Scott Chandler's having a hell of a year. I think Scott Chandler's going to be an interesting matchup this week for the Patriots, as was Gates was last week. Now, Chandler's playing great so far. I like his game a lot. Ryan Fitzpatrick so far is playing well in what you've seen, but it's against Kansas City and Oakland. I think they come back down to earth this week, and I think in a big way. You know, it's again, this game, I'm not making any final prediction yet, but 34-17, 42-20, you know, garbage yardage. This is a, you know, fantasy football team's dream once again. They just, and it's early in the season too. It's early in Buffalo. So I don't see how this is going to be an overly competitive game, to be honest with you. But, certainly Buffalo has played the Patriots tough at times before, but most of those games have been here, believe it or not. So, and last year's game here was a close game, 38-30, the Patriots won, I believe. That was one of the uglier wins the Patriots had all year, again, early in the season. Gene says, "What's him? I have a question about the Patriots fans. My uncle and Patriots season tickets had Patriots season tickets, and it took me to my first Patriots Jets game in the old Foxborough Stadium with great seats on the 20-yard line. All I can remember is I heard all these boos, and then I saw these 2 Jet fans come down the aisle and then sat right behind us. My uncle said to me to put on your rain gear, so I did, even though there was no rain in sight. Then I knew why. The game started, and every time the Jets did something good, and these two fans, garbage, jumped up to cheer, garbage was flying down on us where you were getting pelted with everything. Maybe Mr. Kraft should import some of these good old Patriot fans to get the crowd fired up, or maybe we are too civilized for that now. Too bad. I loved it. Love that music, Pete. I feel like the conquering hero. Well, look, you're all going to get, you know, Jet fans are notoriously asses for the most part. And I'm not saying, you know, there's certain places and times that Patriot fans can be just the same way, but something about Jets and Eagles fans that are just, I don't know, just different. Chris says, hey, Pete, what are your thoughts on the play of Brandon Spikes? I think him and Cunningham could be key contributors to this defense later in the year. I too, am not over the word about the yards the defense has given up. If they stay healthy, they will be fine. Yeah, well, Spikes didn't play the first game, and he certainly played the second game, so, you know, it's too early to tell. He's one of the guys I said I'd like to see him. He needs to step it up. I think he has the talent to step it up on that. Not that he's going to be Mayo, but he needs to be better. He didn't play in the first game, a healthy scratch, which threw up a big red flag for me. But he was back, you know, on Sunday, and he looked okay. I have to look up his let me see what I got a second. I got a second here for his tackles. I believe he was involved, and I'll get the numbers right here. Oh, I thought I had him right here. I do have him right here. Hang on. Give me 2 seconds because I'm curious about that situation. And again, there's a nice article too in Patriots Football Weekly this week about Eads, the linebacker, as well. And I think you're going to hear more from him. Let me see. Where's the there it is. Let's see. Spikes had 2 tackles. He had 2 tackles in the game, which is better than none. Eads had 1 tackle. But I think you're going to see, I like I said, I think this Eads, he's going to be, you might start hearing a little more from him as he becomes more comfortable with the defense. Chris says, Pete, what are your thoughts on, I just read that one. This is from Tiffany. My girl Tiffany in Wisconsin. Hi, Pete. Some of the Patriot fans are worried about our defense, pass rush and secondary, McCourty specifically, and 85. But how would you like to be a Jets fan right now? Plax isn't that deep threat everyone anticipated. Also, is Sanchez getting better? Doesn't look like it. I definitely agree with that. He had 2 picks against the vaunted Jags secondary. By the way, how many yards did the Packers give up against Carolina? Cam had another record performance against one of the best defenses in the NFL, a Super Bowl winning defense. I am so sick of this doom and gloom. I can't stand it. Calm down. Some guy from the Pro Football Stats or whatever stated that the Pats defense isn't Super Bowl caliber. I'll say the Patriots haven't made it to the playoffs yet. Do I think we gave up too many big plays to Rivers? Yes, but Rivers is a great quarterback. Our defense made big plays too. Will I be worried if the same thing occurs next week against the Bills? Yes, I'll be very concerned. Well, Tiffany, I think we know. I've been talking about everything, a lot of things of what you said. And if you want to point that hard-hitting analysis, everybody's ripping the Patriots defense, then do it for the Packers. Do it for the Saints. Do it for a lot of teams. Who has a Super Bowl caliber defense right now? And please don't tell me the Jets against the pathetic Jaguars. Please. No, please. Give me somebody that doesn't have Luke McCown, a quarterback, for God's sakes, before you come up with that. So, I mean, I agree with you, Tiffany, in a lot of ways. I think the team, it does, the Patriots defense have done, I mean, do they need to improve? Yes. McCourty situation, you got to take into consideration as well. The Marshall and Jackson factor, the 2 big receivers he's covering. Sorry. I mean, that's a factor. You know? There were a few. In both of those games, he had coverage on a few of those guys, and this made great plays. Just out-jumped him. What the hell do you want him to do? Just the matchup sometimes. That's the way it is. Now, has he played great? No, he hasn't played great. I think he's played a little better than what some people are saying. You know, he hasn't been this gigantic flop by any stretch of the imagination. So I'd say calm down. Like I said, you're going to see McCourty do very well probably the next couple of weeks against Buffalo and Oakland. Then the Jets come in, where I have no doubt he will shine against those jerks. So we'll wait for that. Yeah, I said it, jerks. I don't care. I don't have to be objective with them. I think I just think they're so overhyped and so overrated. I'm not saying they're not a good team, because I do think they are a good team, but they just, please. And I know. Yeah, you bring up last year's playoff game. Well, I'm not talking about last. I'm talking about this year again. But only, no. Stop it. Stop it. Don't make me come through the glass. WebRadioPatriots.com. Email me, 508. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. How about, Kev, Bill Belichick spoke to the Buffalo media earlier today, so via conference call. So here's what head coach Bill Belichick had to say.
They've had two real good wins. Really dominated the Kansas City game in all three phases of the game. And then, you know, last week spotted Oakland a big lead and, you know, came back and beat them with a great second half. And, you know, it was a back and forth game too. So they showed a lot of, you know, a lot of good play on both sides of the ball and, you know, as a total team. So, you know, the team's playing aggressively. They can move the ball. They can play good defense. They're good in the kicking game. They're, you know, playing with a lot of energy, hustling around and sure there'll be plenty of energy in the stadium this weekend, when we go up there. So, another tough division game on the road. And, you know, we need a good week of preparation to deal with them. They're a hard team to prepare for. They have a lot of great skilled players offensively that are tough to match up against.
Bill, you know, a lot of times when you guys play the Bills, I guess based on your past success and often their record, you know, you'll get the question about how do you get your team, you know, ready to play, you know, a team like this. Given that they're 2-0, is it safe to say that's not really a worry this year?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think it's ever a worry. You know, we played them here last year and you know, the first game, and they certainly gave us all we could handle. So, you know, we have a lot of respect for Buffalo and the way they play. It's always competitive against them, and, you know, they've done nothing but get better since early in the season last year. You know, good experienced quarterback, good running back, good receivers and tight ends. Offensive line's improved. You know, added Darius on defense. He's a really strong player next to Williams, so it's hard to concentrate on one of those guys without turning the other guy loose. You know, Merriman and Kelsey on the edge. So, you know, corners, secondary's playing well. I mean, they got a lot of good players. Good in the kicking game, and a great punter, kicker. You know, Mormon can change field position as well as anybody in the league. So they're really, we got our hands full this week.
Bill, along those lines, on the idea of shifting field position, where do things stand now with your punting situation, and does this look like a scenario where you might have to address that with a new player for this game?
We're still working our way through some of those questions today, and it may take longer than that, so I don't know. It's possible.
Well, if in general, I don't know if you've ever had to do this before mid-season, but what are other, if you do have to stick in a new punter, what are the adjustments, or are there adjustments other than just making sure you can receive it from the long snapper?
Yeah, well, there's plenty of things that go into the punting position. You know, it's not like just standing out on the driving range and, you know, teeing it up and, you know, hitting it as far as you can. Situation punting is, you know, probably over half the game in punting, whether it's directional punting, rushes, plus 50, you know, end of game, end of half type situations. So, you know, one deep, two deep, overload rushes. I mean, you can just keep going. There's a million things that the punter has to deal with. The punter, the whole punt team, punter, the personal protector, the snapper, and everybody has to deal with. You know, it's certainly a lot more to it than just catching the ball and kicking it as far as you can. So, that's something we work on every week, and it changes every week. Every team we play is different, and then you always have to deal with the conditions and the situation within the game. So, yeah, there's plenty of stuff going on there.
Bill, when a team is running a no-huddle offense effectively, a hurry-up type situation, and we see defensive players, you know, go down with injury, let's say multiple times, three times, you know, to media and fans, sometimes it can look like that's a tactic almost to slow down the offense. I'm curious how you view that aspect of the game. It's something that we've seen in quite a few games already this year.
Well, it's not anything we have control over, so we just try to do what we can do, and and execute the plays when we get an opportunity to execute them the best that we can. The decisions that are made by other people are their decisions. So,
how disrupting can that be to that type of offense when you're trying to establish a tempo like that?
Well, I think we all see that the way the game is now, there are different breaks in the game at all points in time. You know, you can have the momentum or, you know, things, positive things going on in your favor, and then we stop and review a play or review a score, or a play gets challenged, or, you know, a player gets injured, or, you know, beach ball rolls onto the field, or, you know, it could be dog runs out there. I mean, it could be anything. So, streakers, we've had that. So, you know, things happen. That's part of just, you know, being focused and playing through the situation, whatever it is that comes up. Things that you can't control, that's, plays are going to get reviewed, plays are going to get stopped, momentum and the tempo is going to change. You have to be able to deal with it, both sides of the ball, for it, against it, on the road and at home. I mean, it's just part of the game. I think if you want to address the whole, you know, that whole issue, then that's something that needs to go to the people to make the rules.
Guys, let's take two more questions.
So how would you assess Devin McCourty's performance thus far?
I think Devin's, you know, done a lot of good things for us. He's really probably played as well as, you know, as anybody we've had on defense. But, you know, I mean, as always, there's plays that we'd all like to have back and do better on and all that. So Devin's very competitive. He sets very high goals and standards for himself. So I'm sure he feels that way too, but you know, he's certainly one of our best players.
Devin has been thrown at a lot, it seems. It looks like far more than last year. Is there any reason you can see for that, or is that maybe a matchup based on who he's been covering?
Yeah, I don't know. You'd have to talk to the other teams that are calling the plays or the quarterbacks that are throwing the ball. Like, we don't really have any control over that. You know, everybody's out there. You know, the way we see it defensively, everybody's at the point of attack on every play. You know, everybody has a job to do, whatever it happens to be, run or pass or, you know, various responsibilities based on the formation and then the play. So whatever those are, we try to, you know, do them within the structure of the defensive play on that particular snap. So where the ball ends up and what the offense decides to do with it and all that, that's, like, defensively, you never have any control over that. That's an offensive decision.
Well, that was great. By the way, the Patriots are 1-0 this year when Bill Belichick gets a haircut before the game, in case you didn't realize. I keep track of all this stuff. So what was that, the Mike Reese, Bill Belichick one-on-one interview?
Gotta watch out for those streakers, Pete.
Hey, I've seen some of them. I've seen a lot of stuff go on. That's head coach Bill Belichick addressing some of the addressing Mike Reese of ESPN and addressing some of the Buffalo media today. And tomorrow we'll hear from Chan Gailey and Ryan Fitzpatrick. By the way, my Scott on Facebook says, doesn't matter where he parked his car at Harvard, the Pats are going to park Fitzpatrick on his sweet Ivy League ass on Sunday. The Pats pass rush will take a big step forward. Go Pats. Okay. Possible. Hope you're right. Dale says, hi again, Pete. You're right. I enjoyed the goal line play and McCourty's run stop support on fourth down. Of course, the turnovers are great, but they disappeared against the Jets in the playoffs like the Stooges at ESPN were predicting they would all last year. Maybe the Pats weren't as good as their record last year, but they should be better this year. I'm not predicting doom at all, but I've just got to see the Pats win some more playoff games to shut the naysayers and haters up for once. Well, look, and I understand, Dale, but you have to realize a long time ago, even though I bring it up from time to time, if you've heard some of the analysis on ESPN and NFL Network in the last, just the first couple of weeks, that's sad. Some of it's really sad. It really is. I told you, you expect more out of some of these guys, but you can tell their personal biases against this team or that team, whatever. I'm not just talking about against the Patriots. It's just, you can just tell. I mean, for Michael Irvin, that boob to come out and say the Patriots will beat San Diego because they will dink and dunk their way down the field. You know, to me, you should be fired for something like that. That's just like, what is that? I mean, that's, anybody can throw that comment out there. That's your analysis. That's your, you know, I don't know how much tape he watches of the Patriots or film. Obviously none. Or maybe he watched 2001 instead of 2011. Maybe that's it. Maybe he went to the videotape and pulled out 2001 against 2000, forgot the one. Or maybe you say a little bit of that happened in 2001. But that certainly has not been the case with this team for a long time. So I just don't put a lot of stock in what a lot of these analysts say. Some of them I really respect, and like a lot. But the majority of them, when they start talking about this team or that team, in a lot of ways, I mean, I like when they do the X and O stuff. Because I think I love that. I love the X and O breakdown, that kind of thing. But when they start talking about, it's too much generalization. It's too much black or white. There's not a lot of gray area with a lot of these analysts and these ex-athletes on television. Just isn't. And a lot of media, too. Same thing. It just seems one way or the other. Simply black or white, pass or fail. Sports isn't that way. Just isn't. There's a lot of things to take into consideration. That's why I hate when people paint this theme against the Patriots defense like there's some horrific bunch. Or maybe that's too strong a term, but like there's a bunch of deadbeats that, you know, this is the way it's going to be all year. You know what? For the most part, I'll take it. Do I think they're going to get better? Of course I do. They keep forcing turnovers the way they do and keep winning football games, I'll take it. Now, the other thing, what you talked about, Dale, about, you know, what happened last year in the playoffs, again, having the butterfly effect. I've said it a million times. Did they get all coached out play last year in the second half or a lot for most of the game, three quarters? Yeah, they did. But you know what? To me, if the Jets did everything perfect in the first two drives and came away with nothing, no points, the Patriots marched down the field and Crumpler drops a touchdown pass, that would have changed everything. Everything, in my opinion. Because the Jets would have been thinking, oh my God, we just picked off Brady, we marched down the field, we missed a chip shot field goal, we let them for the second time march down the field on us, and the Patriots did march down the field the first time before that pick was thrown. Well, two out of three drives, the Patriots marched down the field. But that pass to Crumpler was just killer. Absolute killer. You just knew it. Gene says, hi, Pete. I watched the game over and over on NFL Rewind. I saw more from spikes and two tackles. What I saw him in was a fired-up guy who trash-talking at the other team and just looking for a fight with anyone on the other side. That's what I saw him here in Florida when he was with Florida State. I don't know if Florida State or Florida, Spikes was from Florida, right? I don't know if someone said something to him or if it was... He was just playing against K.O. Spikes, I believe, his cousin, that got him fired up. But that's just what he needs to play all year, and the tackles will add up. Did you guys see that in him in the San Diego game? Yeah, I mean, somewhat. I think obviously the fact that he played says something, because he didn't play against Miami. So, yeah, I mean, I'll have to go back and look at him again. But so I usually keep the games, you know, for the most part, for a few weeks before I have to erase them. Otherwise, there's not enough room in my DVR to keep them all. I can always go back on NFL Network anyway, and they have those little short clips of 15, but you don't get it really. They have those 15-minute segments that they show on every team. But email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. And you can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Is the number to call. Is the number to Facebook me. Again, give me a regular message, post it on my wall, not a text message. So I think there's a lot to be excited about. I do not agree with a lot of my colleagues and around here. Some of them that have already, you're just jumping on. It's the overreaction to the defense. And I'm just telling you have to, in case you missed it in the first hour, you have got to look at the NFL, the evolution of the NFL, and you have got to realize what is happening here with this league. You had half the teams pass for over 300 yards in week one. And to me, it's more than the OTAs that didn't happen for some teams. It's more than just offenses ahead of defenses, that kind of thing, or the weather. That has something to do with it. It's the way the league is evolving. And I brought the analogy earlier in the show about back in the 70s and 80s, if you were a pitcher and had an ERA of over 3.2, 3.3, you were considered bad. If it was 3.5 to 4, you were considered horrible. Horrible. Nowadays, if you have a If you've got an ERA of 4, you're considered one of the elite pitchers in Major League Baseball. So you got to, I mean, and that's just the way the evolution of the NFL is going. The days of 250 yards or less, those days are done. Those days are done. The offenses are too advanced and too sophisticated. It's just tough. That's why you don't panic about the Packers. They just had a thing on ESPN doing, should you panic over the Packers giving up? And like 64% of the country said yes. It's just so stupid. You know, they faced one of the, an elite quarterback in Drew Brees and a guy in, you know, Cam Newton, who is not playing like a rookie. All right. I thought through some spectacular throws. Could Green Bay have played some better defense? Yeah. But I mean, Woodson had a monster game. I mean, sometimes actually the other team plays well. Cam Newton made some spectacular throws in that game. It's a pretty good coverage at times too. So, I mean, I don't go crazy when I see those kind of scores against certain teams and certain players because I expect it. I expected a high scoring game with the Patriots. I expected, 34-24. I got 38-24 in Miami. I said 35-30 Patriots. I get, 35-21. Not too far off. You know, next week, different. You know, I don't expect Fitzpatrick to put up, 24-plus points. But again, if the Patriots are up 41-0 and they win 41-20, you think I can really give a crap what happens there? You know, some other people will go crazy about it, but I won't. So we'll see how the game goes. We'll see how the game goes. Well, you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And let's head to, oh, my goodness, is this Omar in France? You're up next here on the Pete Shepard Show. Omar.
Hello, Pete. You're the man. How you doing?
Bonjour.
Bonjour. Come on.
I should say it's nighttime over there, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Bonsoir. Bonsoir, I should say.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Bonsoir. Oh, so you know your French, huh?
Took 5 years. I can still say the Hail Mary in French, believe it or not. Even though I'm 100% Italian, I know some Italian and can understand that too, but I can still do the Hail Mary in French, but I won't bore people with that.
Yeah, that's true.
We had to learn that in high school. My sophomore year, we got a zero.
A zero?
Yeah, a zero on our test. But go ahead, Umar. How's it going?
Yeah, good, man. Hey, I'm a diehard Patriots fan, so I only have one wish, is for them to win this year's Super Bowl. Especially with all the emotion, the passing of Mrs. Kraft.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And
have you been able to
improve our defense?
Yeah, but I don't know if you've been listening all day the last couple hours, but I mean, have you been able to watch the games out in France?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, online.
Oh, that's good. And again, what I've been talking about though, Omar, is you said Umar or Omar? Is it Umar?
Yeah, Umar. Yeah,
Umar. But I'm talking about if you look at the entire league. Let me ask you a question I've been posing all day. The Packers have given up more points than the Patriots so far in two games. Do you think the Packers have a great team?
Do I think they have a great what?
Team.
Team. Oh yeah, they do have a great team,
yeah,
for sure. But
with the
Packers, I just feel like it's time. With us, it's not time. We need to fix some things.
Why do you say it's not time with the Patriots? I think it's time with everybody after week two, don't you think?
Yeah, you're right. But I don't know, because the Packers were the number one or number two defense last year. I forgot.
San Diego was number one overall, and what did that mean? Again, it's net yardage numbers that, if you look at the game, they don't mean a whole heck of a lot. It's not like the Packers went into the Super Bowl last year and shut out the Steelers.
Yeah.
That was a pretty nip-and-tuck game for most of it.
True.
The Packers got into playoffs last year. They didn't win the last two games to get in. They took advantage of it, certainly. But I think you don't get so caught up in net yardage numbers when looking at the defense. They caused 4 turnovers. They stopped San Diego 3 times inside the 35-yard line. You have to factor all that in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree. I mean, we do have a good run defense. I think we rank number 12 or something. And even the Jets are like number 9, like 3 spots ahead of us. But our pass defense is what's causing problem right now. And I'm not sure if you were able to listen to PFW in progress, but they had a good point. They were saying that if we want to win playoff game, we need to score more than 30 points every time because of the way the defense plays. So if the defense plays better, we can score less points and still move on.
And my counter to that is, and I respect those guys, and we have had this discussion and argument before back and forth. My feeling is this. You can't, well, it's like last year. You know, people thought they didn't have a championship caliber defense, which I thought is just ridiculous because you didn't know, I mean, they were ahead by so many points in so many games that the net yardage numbers made, they had the worst third down defense last year statistically in the NFL, right? But this is why numbers can lie, Umar, because that is crap to me because it's based on net yardage. You know why? Because they were ahead by 2, 3, 4, sometimes 5 touchdowns in many of those games. In the second half of the season. Now, when you look at points allowed, which is really all I really give a damn about, the Jets were statistically the third best defense in the league last year, right? The Patriots were like down to the bottom. Well, the Jets allowed 19.6 points a game last year, and the Patriots allowed 19. So that's a 0.6 differential. That's it. So that's what I'm saying, Umar. You got to be careful. Numbers can lie. Net yardage numbers in the NFL can lie, and there's a lot of people that get fantasy football numbers confused with real-life numbers and statistics and what they really mean. That's all I'm trying to say. Now, I'm not saying they can't improve. They need to improve. Of course they do, but so do a lot of other teams as well, and there's a lot of talent on this team, so I think you will see an improvement.
Right, and then I have a couple more questions. So do you think we lost to the Jets last year because we had a bad day, or overall do you think it's because their team was better?
Here's what I just went through it. I'll go through it again for you because I love you, Umar. But you look at that game last year, and this is why I've always said in the past, 3 or 4 plays can decide a football game. For the most part, it comes down to 3 or 4 plays. The Patriots get the ball. Brady throws his first pick in, you know, a gazillion pass attempts. All right. 353, I think it was. So the Jets get the ball in the first quarter. They march all the way down the field and they miss a chip shot field goal. So now they're going to be thinking, oh, my God, the Patriots get the ball after that, and they march right back down the field, right back down the field, and Crumpler drops what probably would catch 99 out of 100 times touchdown pass in the end zone. If he catches that touchdown pass in that period at that time, it's 7-0 Patriots, and I really believe, if you believe in the butterfly effect, I think the Jets are psychologically damaged because in their mind, they would have been thinking, we just did everything properly for the first 9 minutes of this game, and we got nothing to show for it. We're down 7-0. But that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case. The Patriots didn't get the touchdown and unfortunately got themselves in too big of a hole. They were outplayed and outcoached, and I don't say that often, the second half of that game. They had a chance to tie it. They did have a chance to tie it late in the fourth quarter. And they just could not, they just couldn't get the job done. I give the Jets credit. I don't take away anything from them because they deserve to win that game. They played better overall. I'm just saying it would have been very interesting to go back in time and just see what would have happened if Crumpler caught that pass and state of mind the Jets would have been in at that time. But overall, look, I mean, the Jets deserve to win that game, but they didn't get to the Super Bowl again. So nobody will remember that in 20 years.
Yeah. Okay. But hopefully this year will be different I don't know. Yeah. I hope over time our defense would get better. You know, our offense is not 100% yet, but I mean, we're doing pretty good.
Pretty good. I mean, I don't know how the offense can do much better than what they've shown in 2 weeks.
You know what bothers me though? It's all Brady's passes are all in the middle. We don't have those athletic receivers to catch the ball on the sideline or in the end zone.
Omar, no. Oh, my friend, I have to. You talk about athleticism. I think the Patriots have several great athletes out there. I think Deion Branch, Welker, I mean, the two, Gronkowski and Hernandez and Ocho Cinco, those are all great athletes.
Okay, I agree. The tight ends are exceptional, but our wide receivers are too small. 5'9 is too small, you know what I mean?
What? Have you seen Deion Branch and Welker this year so far?
Yeah.
Okay, they've been unstoppable.
Okay, regular season, but I hope it's the same during the playoffs, right?
Who stopped Welker in the 07 playoffs? I mean, obviously, he got hurt for the playoffs and when they lost to Baltimore in 09, but, I think you're really nitpicking about some things, but there's no better receiving corps than the Patriots. You take all of them into consideration. They are the best. Green Bay's close, but the Patriots are better.
One last question, Pete.
Yeah.
Last week on your show, you said that we were dominating the Colts until they went to the league office complaining, blah, 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 and every incomplete pass was like like a pass interference. So how serious were you? Were you just kidding, or were you serious?
Well, I don't know if that was me that said that, but that's been a theory. I mean, you go if you go back to this was this stems from the 2003-2004 season.
Yeah.
What happened was the Colts were complaining in the playoff game. That's the game Ty Law had four picks, I think, in 03. And Bill Polian complained to the NFL about the way the Patriots played defense, blah, 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 blah. So they started calling all these things. And then in 04, the Colts came back for the playoff game and lost again, 24-14. And then Polian complained about something else. So that's what he does. I mean, he's a colorful guy, boisterous, and just, you know, that's what he is. You know,
okay.
He is what he is. I wouldn't go crazy over that stuff. I mean, but he definitely had an impact on what some of the rules that were changed. So.
Yeah.
All right, Umar.
Pete, thanks a lot.
All right, bonsoir.
Bonsoir.
Okay, take care. That is Umar from France. Did you call before, Kev? Oh. That's nice. So it's going to be what? That's going to be like midnight over there, huh? Midnight in France? I love that.
He calls all the shows. He's a pretty big Pats fan.
That's great. So he has to watch the games online. Well, maybe the NBC games or the Monday and the ESPN games must be online. I haven't been to Europe in a while, but I'm trying to think. I know they have ESPN, obviously, but I'm wondering if those games coming live.
I also think that Umar splits time between the States and France as well.
Oh, really?
So he's kind of an international mystery man.
Interesting, interesting. All right, we take a quick break. One last quick break. 508-298-0398. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And you can email me, webradio@patriots.com. And Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. We'll close out the show when I come back on the Pete Shepard Show, patriots.com, after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho, H to the O-V. I used to move snowflakes by the up. I guess even back
this
then, you
is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
You know what? That song is so offensive. You know why? I don't want to hear about snowflakes and shoveling snowflakes. That's the last thing I want to hear right now.
You know,
bad enough. They're already putting Christmas crap out there. We haven't even got the freaking Halloween.
You know this is Brady's song, though.
Oh, I know it is. But I'm just talking about, it's not the rap, it's the lyric about shoveling snow and being around snow. I don't want to think about it right now. Let me get back to some of these emails real quick before we close out the show. Webradio at patriots.com. One of these is in, I don't know what that is. It's totally in Spanish, so we'll skip that. Nick says, from Wisconsin, if you had to choose one position on the team that you would like
you
to see.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
Yes. No habla. If you had to choose one position on this team that you would like to see the most improvement, what would it be and why? Well, quarterback, because Brady sucks. No. if you had to choose one position, well, let me see. Like, I see the most improvement, what would it be? Well, you know, it's easy to say everything about the pass rush and get one guy, but I think that's just not the way they operate, the way they, it's going to be as a unit. So if you ask me about one particular person, you know, I'm going to still go with Spikes, and I know he played better this week because he didn't play at all in week one. He's the guy that I want to see make that next step up. I think I mentioned that earlier. I think Ninkovich is the, I can't say enough about Rob Ninkovich. God, I love his game. You talk about, nobody knew who he was 4 years ago. I mean, he is really, you know, he's my new defensive, he has been for a while. I love Ninkovich's game. I think I don't think people around the league talk about him enough nationally. But he's a damn good football player. But if you ask me one guy I'd like to see improve again, I'll go with Spikes. Let's see. This is from David. Hey, Pete, you are drinking way too much of the Kool-Aid. And no way Pats have the best wide receivers in NFL, Lions or Green Bay all day over the Pats. That's ridiculous. Now you want to say there was good. You want to say the Patriots and Packers are tied. Okay. Maybe I'll grant you that a little bit. You can't say they're better. They're just not. They're not. I know Hernandez is hurt now and going to be banged up for a couple of weeks, but they're just not. Gronkowski, Hernandez, Branch, Ocho Cinco, Welker, Edelman, they're not. Patriots have the best offense. Packers are, you know, right there. You want to talk about them being tied, that's fine. And no, I don't have to. You have some thing up there that you want people reading and drinking way too much of the Kool-Aid. I think you might be drinking way too much of the Kool-Aid for your Packers. I can at least admit, I'll admit that they're even. I think most NFL coaches, if as a unit, six guys on the Patriots, that's who they take. I think they take the Patriots wide receivers and the tight ends as a whole. What else we get here? Doug from Texas. Hey, Pete, sorry my early email didn't read so easy. Remember the turnovers. Well, was a play on Remember the Titans. Okay, in reference to Saints, defensively speaking, because lots of turnovers that year. I was reiterating your point about the league changing, in particular yards allowed and all the buzz over. You mentioned the Saints Super Bowl year defensive stats. I couldn't agree more that the league is definitely changing, and the fact that Saints Super Bowl year defensive stats were quite frankly reliant on turnovers just drives the point more so. No, there's no question. And you go back and look it over. I think the Saints are like 23rd. Overall, in defense, again, it's that net yardage crap that I don't care about. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And I just think more, I think people just have to realize what's going on with this league if they haven't already. It has totally changed. And I know what, I like my analogy, my baseball analogy about back when pitchers had ERAs over 3.5, they were considered lousy. And now, I mean, if you're an NFL offense and you can hold teams under 300 yards, it's pretty good. Most teams can't. Half the league passing for over 300 yards. Half the league. So you're just going to change the way things, it just happens that way. Now it's like in baseball, an elite pitcher is considered somebody with a 4 ERA. It wasn't the case years ago. The league is evolving. It's a passing league now. A lot more offense. A lot tougher to defend all these guys, especially when you go up against the top four teams in the league, Patriots, Packers, Saints, Chargers. Tough, tough, tough to stop those guys. Well, let me close out the show once again. If you haven't seen A Football Life about Bill Belichick, you got to check it out. It is absolutely so well done, and I can't wait for part two. Because the DVD that was supposed to be left for me, somebody took. Somebody committed theft here. And I still say it was one of the PFW guys that did it.
I'm pretty sure it was a member of that other station that we shall not name.
Oh, I can name it. Oh, I'm sure it was an accident. It was somebody from EEI that took it.
I'm pretty sure it was. Andy and I came up with that that rationalization after a guy that he didn't make a copy for ended up with one, and he was on site here for that program on Monday.
So what you're saying is Mike Adams committed theft against me.
That's what Andy's telling me.
So Mike Adams committed theft against me.
Great guy, Planet Mikey.
He just wanted
that DVD.
Well, that hurts. He's still upset because I beat him in the karaoke contest 2 years ago. He'll never forget it. Never forget it. Anyway, that's all right. Certainly when you DVR it, it's fine. And I won't be home Thursday night anyway, so I'll DVR it, and it'll be safe forever. But just fantastic stuff. It's on demand. I mean, you can see it. The NFL Network is showing it. It is just an incredible stuff on there, especially after the Denver game, how forthright Bill was with the coaching staff and everything else. And certainly that exchange with Mason on the sideline against Baltimore during the regular season, the game the Patriots were up by 10 by, is just absolutely classic. Classic. Well, that's going to do it for the first edition of this week, anyway, of the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Tomorrow I will be back at 4 p.m., and we'll probably have somebody out from Buffalo tomorrow, I promise you.
We'll definitely have some locker room stuff.
We'll have a lot of locker room stuff tomorrow. More analysis from this Patriots-Chargers game. Think about what I said today. See if you guys agree, disagree, or whatever. Talk to you about it tomorrow. Again, we'll look ahead to the Bills as well. Thanks to Kevin for producing this whole thing. I'll be back tomorrow at 4. Thanks, everybody, for calling in and all your emails and all your Facebook stuff. Greatly appreciate it. I love you guys. Continue the passion here on the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com. Talk to you tomorrow at 4. Bye-bye.